What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Leading up to it, I just wasn't there. I didn't think it was a big deal. And then last night, I did get caught up in the moment. Not just because SNY did a good job with it, but you really could feel the special nature of that moment and the home run from Pete Alonso last night. But it got me thinking, and we've talked about this many times for the last couple of years we've been paired together here. I don't think that there's any way the Mets could let Alonso walk. Like, we've been down this road before, as recently as this past offseason. After now breaking that record and having that record on his own, you know how much the fan base is in love with Pete Alonso. I don't care what David Stern's values or not. I don't think there's any way Steve Cohen lets Pete Alonso walk after last night.
Well, first of all, congrats to Pete. That was all. I even enjoyed it. I was in the car and I heard his double. By the way, is Howie okay? He sounded really sick.
Like, I don't know. I did catch the Keith Rad version of the call.
Yeah. So I heard the double, I guess, off the base of the wall, and then we know what happened. Oh, really good night. You know, Cohen was there, obviously, in the stands, and Darryl had the message, and everybody, you could see how everybody was just so happy for him. So I'm really happy for Pete.
And he was genuinely happy himself
as
well.
Yes, you could tell. Very sincere, just the adulation, the connection. You know, as much as we talked about this moment, we don't really get moments. It's not 500 home runs, but we don't get moments like this too often. You know, like when Ewing passed Clyde for the all-time franchise scoring lead. Like, look, I love that stuff. I think it's awesome. So last night was a great night.
And think about this one too. It held the record was held like basically my entire life as a Mets fan.
Yeah,
it was Darryl Strawberry. Like, I never even thought about the record. It was never something that was even. But question, to me, at least in my mind, Strawberry held it for, what, 30-something years, whatever it was. Like, that's a long time to have a record.
Yeah, and you wonder what Darryl would have been without the booze and the drugs and the issues. He probably would have been five bills. Yeah. All right, so, you know, the nature of what you and I do is, you know, you acknowledge what's going on, which that's why I wanted to get that out of the way first. It really was cool. Now we get to what you said about there's no way Cohen can let him go. I think it's very easy to say that today. I really do. With all due respect, I think it's very easy to get wrapped up in the emotions. Nothing wrong with that, by the way, getting wrapped up in the emotions. I do it as well. But keep in mind, there's a lot of baseball to go. I think a lot of this is going to depend upon how the Mets finish. I think a lot of this, or some of it, will certainly be tied into how Pete finishes as a player. The RBI total is great, but there's still a lot of at-bats, meaningful at-bats that are coming his way. And I can't say that. And I matter of fact, I would actually say the opposite. Like, in my gut, in my heart, I don't think Pete's here long term. I don't.
Here's the reason why. Now, I am fully aware that it sounds reactionary to last night. But let's do the math and think about the path, how we got here. It has been up and down with Pete, not only on his performance, but the idea that the Mets, this was not just something that was made up. They did look into trading him a couple of years ago. There was a legit question. The Mets themselves came out last offseason and basically said, it's done. Like, we're moving on. The reports were, and they were coming from the Mets, were, we're ready to move on from the idea of Pete Alonso. That was last year, though. And that was off of a special postseason, which was the only reason why it was really difficult. Prior to Pete's postseason, I think most Mets fans were like, you know what? We love Pete, but we understand we can't live with the inconsistencies, and he didn't have a great year. You know, the pop-up that he dropped before home run. Like, that was the final nail in the coffin.
Yep.
Then he hits maybe the biggest home run in the history of the franchise, and now everybody's back up. There you go. This is our guy. We want him. Has a good postseason. Now you fast forward to the offseason. Dude, like, the Mets signed the biggest prize that they've ever gotten in their history in Juan Soto, and the only thing people cared about, Mets fans cared about in the offseason, was Pete Alonso. Is Pete coming back? Is Pete coming back? Like, so much so that I was like, geez, enough. Like,
yeah.
It's more about Soto. You get the better player. Who cares about Alonso? But they loved him that much. You saw the big stink at Amazing Day that fans made booing Cohen and Stearns after signing Juan Soto. Like, what? And now that he has this record, and he said what he said, and he's like, now Cohen and Stearns got to come to the table. Like, he acknowledged it afterward.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see any way that Cohen and the Mets can let him walk and the fans being okay with
that. Oh, okay, now that's two different things.
Yeah.
Letting him walk is one thing. No, the fans would revolt.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's a big problem. Now, we could get into the baseball part of it, but also there is an entertainment part of it.
For sure.
Pete's power is undisputed.
Like, he's one of the most prolific home run hitters this century.
Since he's come into the big leagues in 2019,
yeah.
Nobody has ever disputed that. Even in a down year, he hits 30-something home runs. So nobody's going to dispute that. So if the floor is his power, and even if it gets diminished over the years, he said he wants to play till 40, and you could have him DH, to me, the floor is still worth it to keep the fan base happy and keep him in Mets uniform chasing the 500 mark.
You know, let me just make a little turn here just for a second,
yeah.
All right? And I do want to contextualize, and I don't think anybody's going to look at it this way because, yeah, you know, again, we talk about like 250, 253, 254, all right, which obviously is past Darryl. It's the Mets mark now, 300, 354, all the benchmarks that we've been through. I actually spent an hour this morning in this studio, and mm-hmm. and I think you guys will like this. I'm not going to take long to do it, but I think you guys will like this. So, there's kind of by some, a marginalization of the number 254 now, because he did the two, right? So, and I get it, because there's so many other baseball titans that have 5, 6, 7, whether it's authentic with the steroids or not, the numbers are the numbers, right? So, when you think of 253, or just 250, do you realize there's only 10 Yankees, and I almost don't want to bring the Yankees into it, but this is a compliment. There's only 10 Yankees who have ever done that. The Yankees were born the Highlanders in 1903. They became the Yankees in 1913. And when I tell you the names, it's Ruth, it's Mantle, it's Gehrig, it's DiMaggio, it's Yogi, it's Judge, it's A-Rod, it's Birdie, it's Posada, and it's Jeter. That's it. And by the way, I won't do this, but I went back to the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants, and, you know, whether it was Willie Mays hitting a lot of home runs in San Francisco or Duke Snider hitting a decent amount of home runs out west as well. Like, it's an awesome moment with Darryl and the Met fan and Pete and all that. But I actually think from a New York perspective, it's a little more impressive than we're giving it credit, even more than I gave it, because you're there, that 250, whatever. A lot of guys hit 250. No, not real. That's the list. I just gave it to you.
I do think some of the I don't want to say like watered down part of this record is due to the uncertainty. If Pete were signed for another 7 years, or there weren't any rumors about him being traded, or the past offseason didn't happen to a point where maybe we thought he was going to move on. If it's not a clean, you know, trajectory from, hey, rookie season 2019, all-time great rookie season, breaks the home run record, which, by the way, I thought was a bigger deal than the Mets franchise record. You're talking about all of Major League Baseball history to have the most home runs ever for a rookie. Like,
and look who he beat.
Yeah, that's,
look at the name that he beat.
Yeah, beat Aaron Judge, obviously, but that's a big deal. And you factor in every rookie who's ever played for any team in the history of the sport to have the most home runs by a rookie. That's a big freaking deal.
I think that's his most impressive mark so far.
Agreed. And I remember being into that and like couldn't believe it. Wow, a Mets rookie has that record. That was an awesome moment. Not to diminish last night, but think about how we've gotten there. Now, we talked about the pandemic year, which sucked. That's the second year, 2020. Like, that kind of halted the, you know, who knows? He could have had 100 in his first two seasons, which would have been ridiculous. We would have been talking about this record like, hey, when's he going to break this record? Year two, year three, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But then the murkiness of the contract and the lack of an extension, and does he want to be here? Do the Mets want him here long term? Were they going to trade him? Like, there was just a lot of uncertainty that I do think hurt what should have been a just clear path from here's our homegrown rookie sensation that's going to be... I remember before this stuff saying literally he's going to be the greatest Met of all time. But if he plays here long enough, and at the time I'm thinking, where's he going? Like, lose him.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
He's going to own every franchise record that there is. David Wright, forget about it. Piazza, forget about it. Strawberry, he's going to have every... And he still might. But then with the uncertainty, I think it kind of got us off track a little bit.
It did. Now, let's go back and as we kind of go back and forth between logic and sentimentality. And that's the dance you almost have to do with this, where you've got to appreciate the history and the moment and all that stuff. But let's not forget... It was February 12th when the Mets and Pete Alonso came to terms a year ago.
Right.
And he had already done a lot of great things in a Mets uniform. So, you know, I ask you, well, what's changed in so far this year? And there's still, a month and a half or so to go. We'll see what happens there in the postseason. But what's really changed? Well, he's not getting younger. And he's not old. I'm not saying that. But he's not getting younger. He's not a lefty fielding first baseman. And he's not particularly agile. Like, those are all the things. Like, this Pete Alonso conversation has been really on the table for a couple of years. And my opinion has never changed. And I believe my opinion, unfortunately, for the Mets, or Met fans, is much more in alignment with Stearns than not. I don't think he values him the way Met fans do.
To me, multiple things have changed. Number one, the options outside of Pete. Whereas last year you could have said Vlad Guerrero Jr. And I was like, well, sign me up. I'd rather have Vlad Guerrero Jr. Number two, and maybe this should be number one, Pete has produced. I didn't think he would have this big bounce back year after having two off years and then going into free agency the way that he did and then having to basically play under that same pressure again in what was essentially a walk year. And he's lived up to the hype. Then you talk about the success that not only he's had, but the team has had. Yeah, I know they've been in a rut, but overall, they've had success.
Yeah.
He's been the primary factor in their success. Oh, and by the way, he now smashed that record and will continue to hit home runs the rest of the way and even further prove himself to be the greatest home run hitting Met, not to mention he's homegrown, of all time. That, while I'm trying not to be sentimental, that definitely is something that is going to be valued by the fans, 1,000%.
Oh, that's a given. I'm not pushing back on that. That's definite.
And then because of that, how much will Cohen say, look, like, what's the only reason why the Mets wouldn't keep Alonso? He's not going to be a roadblock to somebody else. Vientos has sucked. That's another part of this equation where it used to be, well, all right, you lose Pete, you move Vientos to first, you got Mauricio Beatty, whatever it may be, or go get a third baseman. Well, that's not. So the options were Vientos or Vlad Guerrero Jr. They're both non-existent. Pete has a prove-it year, and he's proven it so far. Gets the record even more in favor with the Met fan. Like, the only roadblock is going to be money, and Steve Cohen has that.
I think it's going to be years. I think it's going to be length. It's not going to be money in terms of AAV. They already made him the highest paid first baseman this year. I think it's going to be the lack of willingness and the uncertainty, and I've always said this, of how a player with Pete's body is going to age. And when you look at that, that's why I brought up February 12th. I mean, think and the fans, it was not fan appreciation. What was
the
fan
fest?
Amazing day. And we talked about, you were there. We talked about that a lot. The fans spoke.
Right.
That resonated.
Even after signing Soto.
I know. They wanted their guy. And there's no doubt that Pete's their guy. Listen, Soto's going to eventually break the mark here. He's going to be here for 14 and a half more years. I don't know this to be true. Unless he wins a couple of World Series, Soto, but whatever. But I don't know that there's really much that Juan Soto can do to emotionally connect to the Met fan the way Pete already has. But there's an expiration point on that. So now I'm not saying that the Mets are going to let him walk this year. He's going to opt out. Business perspective. So there's the logic, there's the sentiment, now there's the business, all right? He's going to opt out. No one's knocking down his door with 3, 4, 5 years, not happening. So when nobody is coming with 3, 4, 5 years, why the hell would the Mets? They won't. So what you'll see again, I believe, unfortunately for Pete, is a very similar dance where it's a short-term commitment. I'm not saying Pete won't be here in 2026 or maybe even 2027, but it's beyond that. When you start thinking 500 bombs and Hall of Fame, I just don't think he's here that long, man.
Number retirement. See, I think this is different than DeGrom. Because when it happened with DeGrom, because that would be some of the pushback. Well, why would Cohen not let Alonso walk now when he let DeGrom walk out the door? Because DeGrom was always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And
he didn't want to be here, DeGrom.
Well, that's another thing. Even though Met fans loved him, I don't think DeGrom loved New York as much as everybody thought. But even if he did... The value that they, like, the Mets didn't think DeGrom was worth what he got, and there was a big injury risk there. So the Mets and David Stearns may say, hey, look, this is what Pete's worth on the open market. let's say there's one team like the Rangers, whatever, that gave DeGrom his contract. All it takes is one.
Yeah.
Could be the Mariners, whoever. Pick a team that's going to say, okay, Pete, we'll give you your 6 years, $200 million, whatever it is. I have no idea. I'm just throwing out rough numbers at this particular point. Let's say that one team says that. Stearns goes back to Cohen and says, all right, here's the offer that he has. I value him at such and such, 3 years for half this deal. And Cohen could just say, yeah, you know what? But I'll pay the extra 3 years because I value him being a Met. There's no injury risk, knock on wood. There's always obviously some, but not...
He's sturdy. He's a sturdy player, man. Day. Every single day.
And you know he's going to decline, but he's going to decline as a DH. Now, I'm not saying that that's ideal because of Soto's contract, whatever, but, I mean, Pete Alonso can profile and still hit probably 25 home runs at the age of 40 with no problem as a DH. So I think Cohen looks at this as he's an art guy, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think Cohen looks at this team as a bit of an art, and Pete Alonso is a prime piece, especially when it comes to his...
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
His fans, the consumers, the customers for his product, why would he want to upset them when it only is going to be a difference of what, 3-4 years for a couple hundred million? To him, it's a drop in the bucket.
Well, let's stick with the art stuff here. He's not the Picasso. That's Soto.
Right.
And,
but fans love him more.
But he's the exhibit that everybody tends to mull or mill around the most because that's their guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's hard to justify letting him go at this point. It's a fun conversation to have. Maybe we shouldn't be having this conversation. Maybe it should have been wrapped up already years ago with Pete Alonso. But the fact that it was a conversation a year ago, the fact that it was a conversation in the offseason, the fact that it's still a conversation now because you know he's going to opt out,
yeah,
wanting the Mets to pay him, like, what's the holdup? He's been producing.
But you know the holdup. The internal holdups, and that's why it's almost like
I can't,
push it down the road, push it down. You can only push it down the road so long.
The fans would go nuts.
And I would agree with them. I would get that part.
I don't think it's worth the blowback from Steve Cohen's perspective to keep his homegrown guy here, who's still in the prime of his career,
yep.
who could be one day. Imagine how great it would be for a 39 or 40-year-old Pete Alonso in the last 2 years of his Mets career and baseball life and contract trying to hit home run number 500. Like, think about how you play that forward, and you could do the math. Like you said, we could go over it 6 years.
I did it yesterday. The average 30 conservatively, 7 years, 210. You know, now you attack it here. You're almost at $5 billion. I mean, you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's worth something as well down the road. I just, at this point, I think it would be tough for Cohen to justify letting him go. Last night, you can make what you will of the actual record as it pertains to, you know, where it ranks in sports lore. To me, it's not that big of a deal when you talk about a franchise that is, it's what, the third lowest total in the big leagues. But it's going to get better, assuming Alonso stays here long-term, and that's kind of the point of the conversation. It was still important for a record that's held for 37 years, whether I thought it was a big deal or you didn't, whatever it may be. Fans got into it last night. Obviously, it meant something to the franchise and to Pete Alonso. And just after watching it and thinking about it a little bit more and thinking how impactful, like, all I knew as a kid was Daryl Strawberry was the Mets' all-time home run leader. Never gave it much thought, but that record held forever. Now Alonso has it, and the year that he breaks it, they're going to let him walk? Really? To a fan base that was in love with this guy last year, even after a bad year, just one good postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time thinking that King Cohen's going to let that happen.
Well, the season's not over today. You know, like if the Mets get to the World Series, if they win, if Pete plays well, if they, you know, last night aside, if last night proves to be a bit of an aberration down the stretch and they stumble and they either, you know, barely get in the wild card and get bounced early or don't even make the playoffs. I mean, there's still so many different scripts that can occur pertaining to the team and obviously indirectly Pete a big part of that. So I don't know that we need to have some definitive take today on what Cohen's going to, even though it's interesting, I like doing it. I just think it's almost hard to do because it's those... it's those conflicting feelings with the sentimentality and the logic. And the baseball logic, as I've always said, tells me that the Mets should not re-sign him for long term. I've always said that. And I'll stand by it.
And maybe that's where there's a disagreement here. Because this was a big year, for at least from my perspective. All right, you had a down year. Let's see what you could do now this season. And he's backed it up. Do you think that there's a question about what type of performance you're going to get from Pete Alonso? Like, if you look at every single year he's played, the power is there every single year. The average may fluctuate, and that's part of my issue. You go from 271 to 217 to 240. Like, those are issues. So you can't hit 217. Yeah, that's great. You hit 46 and 118. 217 is not what made Pete Alonso special. He should be sitting around 250. This year, 267. Maybe he ends up at 250. Maybe it's higher. Who knows? But I think you could pencil him in for 30-plus home runs, 90-plus RBI, and probably a 250 or better batting average. At least the majority of the seasons. That's what he's done since 2019.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not really pushing back that much on that. One of the things that you and we've pretty much been lockstep in, you know, Pete's or the Mets, what the Mets' commitment should be to Pete moving forward, certainly before last night and even coming into the season. We've agreed upon that. Now, what we both said, it would be a lot easier equation if he didn't suddenly morph into a 217 hitter for a couple of years.
Right.
Like, that was like, whoa. All right, I really thought I knew who you were, even if you're not going to hit 53 home runs again in a season, which you probably won't, I wouldn't think. You don't need to be that guy. But, you know, just go 35, 38, 40, 41, 110 ribbies, bat 245, 250, 252, and you know, catch the ball at first base. Throwing the ball is different, but catch it. That's who I thought that Pete was. And then 2 years, I'm like, oh. Now, he has stabilized that. He's shifted the narrative that he is just a decaying asset as a hitter in terms of average.
Right.
So that's maybe quelled some fear, and very well might have. But for me, you know, again, I think it's just going to be Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. Same song and dance this winter. Nobody's knocking down his door outside of the Mets with a massive contract. It's not happening. No one's doing it. So if nobody's going to do it, why would the Mets do it? It's bad business.
I understand that point. But it's also bad business to upset the fans. And the customers.
Yeah, but I agree, but if you're winning, the fans will, I don't want to say they'll forget about Pete. I don't mean it quite like that, but you know, if they were to, I know Stearns is in Japan right now, I guess following some Japanese stud third baseman, lefty Masher, whatever. Like, you bring him over and you do some other stuff, and the Mets are a 97-win team next year, and they look like they could win the World Series. I'm not saying that Pete wouldn't be missed. He would be, but wouldn't be DEFCON 5 where there's 13,000 people there and they're resisting the Mets. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't think the Mets could win without Pete Alonso. I think that they could. I have a hard time at this point. I was fine with the DeGrom situation. I thought that they did the smart thing there. I think it's different with Pete Alonso, even based on the last offseason coming off of a down year. Now, oh man, I have a hard time believing that they're going to let him go. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's hear from you guys. Brian is calling from Spring Lake. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
What's up?
Hey, BT, I'm with you. I'm with you, BT. I'm a lifelong Mets fan. Unless they win the pennant, I got to, and he opts out, and he's going to, I have to let him go. And just a quick sidebar on that, I think that's why the Mets were hesitant to part with some of those young guys. Because I know, Sal, you said it last year when Pete was going through it, and we were done with them. Vientos to first next year, maybe Beatty. I prefer him there because I want to lock up the corners with a better defensive first baseman and allocate that money somewhere.
Well, Vientos isn't good defensively at first base either, so he's not the answer. We all know
and
that.
He's
not,
like Pete.
That's why I would go with Beatty. That's why I'd go with Beatty. I mean, I think you could go from third to first a little bit easier. And I like Beatty. I mean, I don't know. He's not going to be 30-90 like Pete's going to be, but I just want to use that money.
30-90? You'd be lucky to get 13-30 from Beatty.
He might get 20 this year, Beatty.
I'm saying 30-90 for Pete's numbers. What I'm saying, we've seen the best of Pete Alonso. You have to agree. We've seen the best of him.
Yeah, I don't think...
We haven't gotten anywhere.
Yeah, no, good call, Brian. Well, I mean, you almost got to the World Series a year ago. And
yeah.
I mean, Pete had a lot of ribbies. Some other stuff was... I mean, some of the other stats were down. But, see, one thing that I've always said, and it's such a basic thing, and it was very confounding. Well, actually, it wasn't, because I understand this part. The emotion was getting in the way from the Met fans who were pushing this back. And I respected it. And I understood it, right? But it would still frustrate me. Like, and my take has always been, I think you could find a better way to build a team without Pete. That's not to diminish from last night. Those are two separate conversations, right? And Met fans would almost always scream at me, where are you getting 35-110? I got you. You're not getting another first baseman that's going to bang 40 home runs like Pete. My thought was you could always build out a better baseball team by dispersing that money in different parts of the field and ultimately become a better team. A little quicker, a little bit better defensively, higher average, whatever.
Yeah, my issue would be that if you took Pete off of this, if you told me in the offseason, after all the moves the Mets made prior to Pete coming back, that the Alonso was going to go somewhere else, I'd still look at their lineup and say, well, they got Soto, they're going to be fine offensively. However, you watch it play out this year. If they didn't have Alonso, they'd be dead in the water right now.
Yes. Yeah, they
dead were. In the water.
Yep.
You're talking about how it's awful or they're wretched. Bull crap. They're a playoff team. Still one with a chance to win the division. If they didn't have Pete Alonso, they would be a dead team walking because Vientos was not what we thought he was going to be.
Yep.
Because Lindor has fallen off the face the last couple of months. Because Soto hasn't been what he was supposed to be.
Nemo, last night.
Even so, right. So Pete's the only one who's doing what he's supposed to do and maybe exceeding the expectations.
That's pretty true, actually. That statement's true. I can't push back on that.
So now if we fast forward to next year, you could always build it. There's not one singular player. Like, it's not coincidence that a lot of these teams lose star players. And Nats lose Bryce Harper, they go out there and win the World Series.
True.
Like, it happens all the time. Teams lose star players, and they become better. It doesn't mean that I would get in
the habit. The Red Sox traded Devers. Yeah, they're in front of the Yankees in the standings.
Well, that was a thought. Oh, they're giving up on Devers. They're going to go the wrong way. No, they got better without Rafael Devers. So you can see that being the case. However, I just don't think that it would be, A, good business from a fan standpoint to let him go. B, it would be a little bit more difficult to replace him than you think.
Yeah, there's
especially
a lot.
Especially without Vientos or Vlad Guerrero Jr. being the possibility.
Sal, I'm with you. Like a lot of the things that you're saying, even though I disagree at the end of the conversation, most of these checkpoints, I'm like, I understand what you mean. I do think one factor is important here. Like if this was year one of Stearns or, you know, if it was year one, rather than going into year three next year, I wonder how much more influence Stearns will have against Cohen, because I do think that you structure this properly when you say the sentiment will come and the willingness to cut the check will come favorably from Cohen.
Yes.
And no doubt, I'm with you. And the baseball resistance, pragmatically,
right,
will likely come from Stearns. Now, if Stearns just got here, I don't think Stearns has much of a voice, but if the Mets have another good season, they go deep in the playoffs, that's 2-for-2 for Stearns. And I just think that Stearns has a little more juice when he sits down, even though Cohen wouldn't like it. And I can't prove this, I don't know. I do think that Cohen would likely acquiesce to his baseball man because he's done what he's supposed to do since the minute he got here.
If he does that, totally relinquish any kind of control or say, then I do believe Alonso's going to be playing elsewhere. I don't believe he's going to do that. I think that he had his input this past offseason. Cohen was there. You could see the frustration from him at Amazing Day.
Yeah.
And then since then, it was like, maybe we should get back into, let's just get something done here. Like, enough. I don't want to deal with the blowback and negativity. You want this? Here you go. And by the way, it's not just like, you want this and this stinks, here you go. It's, you want this, and he's been productive, and he proved himself this year. He is our franchise homegrown home run king. There's some value in that, even down the road, if you project that Pete will age poorly. There's some value.
There is value there, not 5 or 6 years. That's my pushback.
Ray is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. Sal, you nailed it. Where would they be without Pete right now? They'd be right where Atlanta is, under 500. He's going to drive in 120 runs easily this year. He's right up there, right behind the leader. And he's hitting 265. Those are good numbers for a power hitter. I'm not saying he's going to stay at 265, but he's having a real good year, guys. You know.
Well, the
question stays. I think they give him 5 years.
The DH. The question would be, Ray, and thank you for the call. We appreciate it. The question would be, do you?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Do you believe his... Forget the emotional part of it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Pete's production from this year is somewhat sustainable for the next, let's say, 5 years, through the age 35?
I don't know about the batting average. The power, that's an easy one.
Okay, so if the power...
No question, power.
If that's your floor, the power... You know what bothers me the most about Pete? The defense. I don't want him to be the first baseman. I've been saying that consistently. I'd sign him to be the DH for the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want... Now, I understand that you don't want to have a logjam there, but he could play a little first if you need to. I would want a better defensive first baseman to be out there every single day.
No question.
And then you live with the power being the floor, where you're going to get minimum 25 home runs, probably more than that. He's got 28 this year. All right, so the batting average, what do you think he's going to hit? Is he going to hit... I guess that's the question. Like,
I don't know.
I know, but there's more... Now we're talking about from 2019 through 2020... What year is this? 2025. There's more good, a lot more good than bad. Those last two seasons of inconsistency, one that he hit 217, the other that he hit 240, but had a little dip in the power numbers as far as 34 home runs, 88 ribbies last year.
For sure, for sure.
Those are more the outliers. And even those, like, think about it. A bad year for somebody who hits 34 home runs, you take that more often than not.
Can you make a case? And I think that you can, although I can't, you know, quantify this yet because it's only three quarters of a season, but... Maybe that Soto effect is, you know, trickling down to Pete. You know, a little bit of a different approach. And I know he tweaked his approach. Listen, I think the home run off Devin Williams last year obviously jolted his confidence and the Met fans' confidence in him, like the recommitment to Pete. But I also think it reinforced, and we talked about this coming into the season, his approach. He was getting too pull happy.
Yeah.
He just was. And, you know, by letting the ball travel deep and by hitting the ball the other way again, it has... made him less vulnerable to strikeouts and empty at bats. And when that happens, your batting average is in a manageable spot. Is in a manageable spot, which for a slugger in 2025, dude, if you told me he was going to hit 260 something for the next 5 years, I'd give him 5. I even though I don't love the wheels and the defense, I know he could pick it. You know what I mean?
The whole thing.
But it's to me, it's not spending money perfectly. It's not completely cavalier. But I think that you can spend money better.
Think about it this way, and I'm not trying to bring the Yankees into the conversation, but it does pertain because they had a hole at first base that they filled via free agency with Paul Goldschmidt.
Yep.
And the thought, whether it's Christian Walker, who you wanted, and he got a lot more money, obviously, with Houston, Goldschmidt.
And he's not having a great season either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Walker's not having a good year. No. They paid, what, 3 for $60, something like that, whatever
it was. Yeah, it was 3 or 6, exactly what it was, yeah.
And then Goldschmidt got 15, roughly.
12.5.
Okay, whatever. Would you rather light the $12 million on fire with Goldschmidt or the $60? And I'm not trying to disparage him. But
no, he's been an ice cold for a while, Goldschmidt.
He's been a non-factor. Now, better than Rizzo, but a non-factor. Huh? So would you rather be in a spot, because that's what Stearns would do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no clear first baseman out there to go say, okay, well, we're going to sign Vlad to a monster deal and trust his production. It would be trying to patch it together. All right, we'll get good value with Goldschmidt for a year for $12 million. Or double that and pay the $30 million to have your homegrown guy that you know at worst you're going to hit 25, 30 home runs.
That's too easy because my answer would side with the way you frame it. So I'm going to actually throw you a little curveball here and make you think about this because rather than this like nebulous term like, oh, get a better fielding first baseman, I've actually got somebody for you. Would the Mets, forget about emotion, and that's hard, not for you, but for the fans, forget that. Would the Mets be a better baseball team right now if Bellinger was your first baseman or Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bellinger's a better ball player.
Exactly.
But I would rather have Bellinger in the outfield.
I get that. Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
I'd rather have Bellinger than Nimmo and Lefty.
Yeah.
Because I think you're wasting Bellinger's skill set at first. He's fine at first.
But he's going to age gracefully, more gracefully than Pete, and he's a better fielder than Pete, he's a better runner than Pete.
Yeah, well, right now, if you're asking me who I'd rather have my team,
so that's what I'm saying. So there are other options, like if
Bellinger does hit free agency, like which
he's going to opt out 100%. I think he stays with the Yankees. I'm just saying, like somebody like a Bellinger, 280, 25 bombs, 15 steals, elite defense.
But he's been inconsistent too. But the floor with Bellinger is his versatility and his elite defense. The floor with Pete, the non-negotiable floor that you know you're getting,
yep,
is the power.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that comes down to the age old. Remember when you and I got into the Tucker Soto stuff?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I said, like, hey, if Juan Soto goes 0-for-4, by the way, Juan Soto took a horrendous route on a double off Olsen in the first. Yeah. You got to make that play. Not to sideswipe the conversation, but that's a play that you got to make. And to me, if Soto's 0-for-4, even though he walks, I get that, he's not doing much to contribute to the bottom line. And for the most part, same with Pete. And I know he is very good picking the base, but that's a stat.
Yeah.
We're not making it up. He scoops, man. Pete's got good hands when it's in the dirt. I acknowledge that. I know. But if Pete's 0-for-4, yeah, not bringing a ton to the table. If Bellinger's 0-for-4 or if Tucker's 0-for-4, that's the more well-rounded player that I value myself. But again, that's stripping away the emotion, which is what makes this conversation very hard.
Things looking up here the last couple of days for not only the Yankees, who got 2 wins. Yeah, the turning point of the season, maybe when the Twins got off the plane. I mean, they are wretched, but that's good. The Yankees have a softer schedule coming up. They need that. Watch a coffee there. And then, of course, the Mets pummeling the Braves, as I predicted that they would last night. Now, both teams have to follow it up here. It can't just be win two and then lose a third to the Twins. Finish it off right here.
Yeah.
And then go take care of business. Is following up after this series, get right, maybe get Judge back healthier, which I think will help the Yankees out as they're starting to hit the baseball much better. And the same thing with the Mets. The outburst last night means nothing. Yeah, the home run's great for Alonso, but the outburst, that win last night means nothing if they don't follow it up with another win tonight against Atlanta.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, you certainly want to see these wins keep coming because they have to, because both of these teams have played so poorly and so erratically for so long. They don't have a lot of margin for error. I got a little something on Volpe. I want to do it later, though, because I want to get back to the Pete calls. Obviously, that's the story of the day. Pete breaking Straw's mark. And really, the extension of that's where Sal and I are right now, 888-808-1019, is the complex eventual signing or not signing of Pete. So it's just not going to go away.
You know, it shouldn't have been this difficult. It really shouldn't be. And I get the baseball, you know, baseball behind the scenes, like practical, logical, you know, analysis that goes into it, not valuing a body type like that. And it's not just David Stearns, because the Mets are rumored to be trading him, Pete Alonso. This is 2022, I think, under Billy, 2023, under Billy Epler. That was the year where they traded Scherzer and Verlander at the trade deadline. And remember, too, I think we talked about this, where they tried to trade Pete Alonso for Pete Crow Armstrong. Which was a thing. Now, it wasn't a huge story at the time. Nobody really knew about that. The story was more Alonso to the Brewers.
Yes.
Supposedly in field goal range, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was told it wasn't that close at that particular time, but they did chop Alonso. And when they said Alonso for Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs basically said no thanks. Now, this is years ago, remember, before Pete Crow Armstrong became the MVP of the league, arguably this year. If they traded Alonso back then for Pete Crow Armstrong, a prospect that they traded away for Javi Baez, the fans would have went nuts.
Yeah.
And it would have been the wrong thing to go nuts because you'd much rather have Pete Crow Armstrong right now in center field than Pete Alonso. But I still think the sentiment with the fans, BT, means a lot. The baseball logic and thought process is saying Pete is expendable and we're not going to overpay for him, but the emotional, sentimental, homegrown, home run record, proven consistent power, big part of that, lovable guy from the Met fan perspective, that also means something.
And there's just really a relatability, which goes into the lovable guy stuff. I mean, you know, most of these guys, we can't relate to any of these guys in terms of the salaries, like these ridiculous contracts. But even with Pete making whatever $30 million it is this year, whatever the exact number is, there's just like a commonness to him, like a blue collar. You know, if you saw Pete on a construction site, I mean, honestly, sitting there with a couple of tats, sleeve rolled up, hard hat, you'd be like, yeah, he fits right in. Right. And there, that relatability is going to make it more complex. But there's always somebody else that comes along that you can love. Now, the homegrown nature makes it much more complex. But like, I'm like, oh, man, once Pat Riley left, I'm like, man, there's no way the Knicks are going to get a coach like that. Here comes Van Gundy. Like, we love Van Gundy. When Mattingly's my all-time favorite. When Donnie retired, now, Tino never elevated to the Donnie level, but it certainly helped repair my baseball heart a little bit when Tino was banging 35 home runs and winning World Series and picking it pretty good at first base. So it would be raw. It would kill Met fans in the moment, but there's always, not always, sometimes there's a better way.
You know, yes, but I don't know if there's a better person. You know me, I don't get caught up in the emotional stuff usually.
You don't.
I usually don't.
No.
But in this particular case, a homegrown player that is on the track to break every franchise record that has proven himself. Like, I didn't hang on to dear life for Daniel Murphy because I didn't think Murphy was very good. He had a great, like, for me, my issue then was I would never have let him walk after what he did in the postseason, which was the greatest thing that he ever did in a Met uniform. Yeah. All those years leading up to that, good God, you're shoving Murph down our throat saying he's our best hitter. What does he do? He can't run. He has no position. He doesn't hit with power.
It's a net negative.
Yeah, exactly. Then he goes nuts in the postseason, and that's when they decide to let him walk in favor of Neil Walker, and that was a huge mistake. But I didn't get caught up because he was a homegrown guy. Same thing with DeGrom. I understood it. I think it's different with Pete. He's producing at a high level and has consistently, and he's homegrown. There are really no signs that he's going to fall off other than, yeah, prototypical body type, whatever. But I still think he's going to hit 25 home runs at the age of 40. That's just, to me, how Pete Alonso is. At least the power's there.
Still represented by Scott Boras?
Yeah.
Still got a problem.
I get it. And we'll see what the Mets will do. It'll be another fascinating conversation into the offseason. BT and Sal on the Fan. Annabelle is calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good show, as always. I got 2 points. One is on Pete Alonso, and the other point is on the Mets pitching staff. First, let's start with Pete Alonso. I don't think he's going to go nowhere. I think he's going to get with a 5-year to 6-year contract. He's a Mets grown. I think Cohen wants him here until he retires. That's the point. The other point that I have on the Mets pitching staff, that I feel sorry for Carlos Mendoza, is how can you have a pitching staff that doesn't pass the fourth inning? It's killing me. It's worrying me. The only one that passes the fifth inning is David Peterson. I mean, come on. They're killing the bullpen.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a little bit, Annabelle. As a matter of fact, maybe we'll do that at 11, BT, as far as the pitching goes, because that was a big problem last night. And it almost ruined the moment with Clay Holmes,
yes,
who can't get out of the fourth. I mean, it's ridiculous now with the Mets with the starting pitching. Yankees had an issue, too. Rodon went down there.
31 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah, I know. But
31.
Settling down, obviously.
1-7.
Yeah, impressive. So that's back-to-back good starts for the Yankees.
Yeah.
That has helped them out. The Mets need that. And last night, even though they didn't get that, Hageman came in, did the job, so the bullpen fully rested going into tonight with David Peterson. But before we get to that stuff, let's keep it going with Pete Alonso. Hoff, you said you have a special announcement here from the Mets?
Yeah, they said they're going to do a ceremony for him today before the game, and they're asking people to be in their seats at 6:40.
All right.
There you go.
I was celebrating a little bit more. Are you going to the game tonight, Hoff? You and Evan?
I'm not. Evan will be there, but I am not.
You want to go now that your guy Pete's going to get honored?
No, my family's away. I don't feel like going to a Mets game.
Wait, everybody's away?
Yeah, they're in Florida.
Oh, how glorious is your life?
I know.
Party no responsibility, this guy.
I want to live a little.
Yeah, you should. Wait, when do they leave, Hoff?
Monday they left.
And when do they get back?
Well, I'm meeting them out there Sunday.
Oh, you going to Disney again?
Yes.
Jesus, God, this guy, man. With Disney. I mean, come on. Disney again.
Enjoy the party now while they're not there before you head down to Disney.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's great. See the Mets again, BT, maximizing this Pete Alonso stuff where they're going to have a celebration before the game. I mean, I guess that's pretty cool. But they
well, is Strawberry going to be there?
I'm phenomenal. I'm assuming Straw's going to. I mean, I would assume.
I hope so.
Why don't you try to get Straw on the horn? You know, I was thinking about that today. I don't have Straw's number.
Let me see.
Now, he gave that message last night, but I'm sure Straw will be there today.
I should have a text.
I just feel like there is something about it, though, that feels incomplete to me. Like, yeah, 250. You could talk about 250 or 254 passing Straw, but really, this should be, you know, long down the road. As opposed, you know what I mean? Like, he should be here beyond just this year, where it should be 300, 400, chasing 500, making a big deal of it. Now, I get it. It's a record that held for 37 years. I don't know if you need the pregame thing tonight, honestly, but whatever.
Yeah, so but the fact that he's not here long term after so many things tell us on some level, you and maybe others more than me, that he should be here long term, doesn't that tell you something?
Yeah.
Like, most sensible. Mets drafted him, Mets developed him. What was he, second round pick? I mean, Judge home run rookie record. He's already got 200. He's got 250. Passes Straw. He's been on some good teams. Almost got to the World Series. Yeah. Plays every day. Reliable. Good guy. Good nature. Blah, blah, blah. Well, then why the hell doesn't he have a 5-year deal? That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah. And also, I'm just thinking, like, in my head, okay, couldn't they do this next year? But you don't know next year if he's going to be here. It would be cool if they had a special, we're going to honor our home run king with a special bobblehead, and Pete Alonso Day, we'll have Strawberry out there, and Hojo, and whatever, all the guys that he passed on the list along the way. Like, there's a way to do it big, too. I'm not trying to knock it tonight.
Seems a little quick, like a little microwave celebration here.
Yeah, I don't know. And to Pete's credit, he was focused last night, too. Not one of the talks. While acknowledging the importance of the record for him as an individual, also made it like, hey, trying to win games right here. Like, 40-something games to go. This is not the time to be messing around with some parties about a home run record trying to go win a World Series.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.